We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, I could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
Welcome back, one and all, to A Bangarangs and Daggers, Corn Nation's Nebraska Ball Podcast. I am Patrick Gearhart, and we are switching things up a bit in this week's recording. Nate and my schedules did not exactly match up, so we decided to record separately and put it all together on the editing floor. Today's topic is AAU basketball, which is basically basketball clubs around the country that are outside of a school team and are governed by the Amateur Athletic Union. You pay to play on these teams and travel around your area, region, and even country to play other teams. For a little background, the Amateur Athletic Union, or AAU for short, was first founded in 1888, and their main goal was to promote and develop amateur sports. Originally, it was connected to the Olympic movement and had responsibility with the U.S. Olympic sport governing body until 1978. The AAU has a multitude of sports that it offers, from baseball and golf to surfing and pickleball. If there is a major interest in a sport, they generally cover it. Recently, the AAU has come under scrutiny, specifically in basketball. Many have came out saying quality of play is subpar and that the athletes are not properly trained for the game. That has also become a cash cow for many of those that are involved at the expense of the athletes. In today's podcast, we will go into some of these concerns along with other ones we have encountered over the past few years. While we do not have many of the answers, we hope to at least give you a glimpse into the world of AAU basketball and its impact on today's players. So, without further ado, I give you our own basketball coach, Nate McHugh.
Well, hi, this is Nate McHugh, the second part, or the fellow co-host of this podcast. And I understand I'm supposed to, you know, give a couple of my thoughts about AAU basketball. But first, I have something that's a little off topic. I'm not a big fan of social media. I don't think most people are, but yet we join in, right? I think we all need to remind ourselves that social media is, when you're looking at other people's social media, for the most part, it is their highlight film, right? So don't let it bring you down, because everyone's life looks great, right? So I'm going to go in the opposite direction. We usually record together, and I think Patrick's probably talked about that already. We usually record on Sunday nights. However, last night I had a softball game at 9:30, which is ridiculous. I got to bed about 1 a.m. Because I don't live near Omaha. Anyway, so I'm recording at work right now, after work. I had to bring my son here, who got his third ticket in 3 days at school. A ticket's not a good thing. So currently, he is writing the sentence, "I will follow directions," 25 times. And so if he comes in and interrupts me, I just want to apologize in advance. So, proud moment for dad. So, anyways, I guess let's talk about basketball, right? Some of the pros of AAU basketball. First, I'm not sure if Patrick talked about it. AAU stands for the Amateur Athletic Union. That is true. But AAU basketball now, just the term, is a cover-all for pretty much any basketball that is during the off season. That's how I would call it. So there's some good and there's some bad. So I'm going to start with some of the good. Just to remind, this is from, I'm a basketball coach, so this is from a basketball coach perspective. First, I think it's great that it gives kids an opportunity to play competitive basketball in the off season. It's too many times, and it drives me nuts. Kids, the last time they won't touch a basketball from the end of the season until the beginning, and they wonder why they aren't any better. So AAU basketball gives kids opportunities to really get better and play competitive basketball during the offseason. I think that's great. And so that's, you know, one of the best things about it. Second, there are opportunities in AAU basketball for the big-time players, like we've had at my program in the past, or some marginal players, you know, the ones that are on, we would call C team, you know, the players that, you know, at the moment probably aren't good enough to play varsity. So it gives them an opportunity to get more experience, maybe another outlook on basketball that could help them. And, you know, it's just more time in the gym. I think that's great. Third, you get to play against great competition, especially, you know, these small towns, which is where I coach. We have kids who should, you know, who could play college basketball, but, you know, we're a C2 school. So they don't get to play during the season. They're the best kid in the gym. They aren't getting as much, better. They're not improving as much, I would say, during the season as, you know, we would like, because sometimes it's really hard to make it hard on them. So AAU basketball gives kids an opportunity to play against great competition. And that's what happens, because it gives them exposure to kids from outside the state, especially if they're traveling. It's really works out quite well. And I like to tell our kids, if you are the best player in the gym, then you need to find a new gym. And I guess that could go to any part of your life. As far as just, working, if you're the smartest guy in the room, find a new room, right? So, yeah, AAU basketball, you're going to play against high-level competition, because most of the time, especially the high-level AAU teams, will be comprised of other kids who are planning on playing basketball in college or who want to. And so, you're not going to be able to just dominate a game like you would in high school. So that's great, especially for those high flyers, guys who think or gals who think they're going to be playing college basketball. Fourth, they get to practice situational basketball. This is something that is probably doesn't get done enough during the season because there's just so much to go through. But, what are you supposed to do when it's tied? And there's 10 seconds left and the other team's shooting a free throw and they make it. Okay, you got no timeouts. Now you got 10 seconds. You have to go the other way. So what do? Have you practiced it? So those situations will happen in basketball games. And so, I'm going to put more value on a season that's during the high school basketball season. So, there's situations, okay, you're down. Okay, how about this? No, you're up 3. There's 8 seconds left. They're coming down the floor. Do you foul? Or do you let them shoot? If you foul and you put them at the free throw line, because maybe you're in bonus, maybe that's what you want to do. But if you've never practiced it or you never even had a chance to think about it, then that is tough. It's hard to get mad at a kid for screwing up when they haven't had a chance to practice it. So that's something that AAU gives kids, opportunity in-game situations to get better. And my fifth point was that kids get to experience other styles of coaching. If you've grown up in one school, then you might have the same coach all 4 years, in high school. So there are other ways to play basketball. There's other ways to coach basketball. And there's other styles, other systems that AAU basketball, you're going to get to experience a lot of those systems and other styles of coaching. There's some coaches are screamers, so I think that is one of the great benefits of AAU basketball. And so there's 5 points, I'm trying to be balanced here. Next, I guess, my next section, I'm going to talk about the cons. And so we're trying to be balanced. And So I guess we'll hear from Patrick.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Nate there gave us a great rundown over the pros of AAU basketball. First being the opportunity to play competitive basketball in the offseason outside of their normal school team. Second, there are teams out there for both big-time players as well as marginal players. You don't just throw them all together, so when coaches and scouts and other people who are interested in bringing these players onto other teams have a good chance to see high-end players play with other against other high-end players, and while still allowing marginal ones to play against other competition, that can make them even better. And third, opportunity to play against great competition. You get to go out and practice situational basketball, and you get to experience other styles of coaching than you normally would in your basketball teams. So it's not just bad things that the AAU basketball is doing right now. There's also a lot of good, and it really comes down to, as far as I can tell, different areas of the country. Certain areas are doing a good job bringing in good coaches, good mentors, and making these players better. While I'm sure you see in other parts of the country, and even probably, you know, your little region, you have AAU teams run by lesser coaches, and they're not handling, per se, the players the best that they should. In this second half, Nate really gets into the nitty-gritty of the cons, some of which I brought up at the beginning of this podcast, of AAU basketball. Again, with the better insight than I could ever give you, our own Nate McHugh.
Well, I guess I'm back. This is, in case you could probably tell that we're recording this in separate sessions in a way. So between the first and the second session, I took my son to go get my wife, and we went to go pick up our other two girls before we went to the library. My wife saw that my son had a ticket, and we asked him, you know, or my wife asked him, you know, what'd you do? He said, oh, well, it's not my fault. You know, and of course, we're like, okay, here we go. And he said, you know, he made me do it or whatever. And we didn't really, you know, okay, tell us what happened. He got in trouble for hitting another kid. He said the other kid was stomping his foot. And said, okay, so why did you react that way? He actually had a pretty good response. And we're kind of taking it back. You know, taken aback a little bit by it because I don't know, we didn't know what to do. I started laughing. My wife hit me and said, don't laugh, don't laugh. And then I looked at her and she was smiling because we were driving down the road and he couldn't see us. But anyways, he said, well, my teacher, she said to treat others how you want to be treated. So since he was hitting me, he must have wanted me to hit him back. Bravo, bravo. That was really good. Of course, you know, we explained to him that's not what it means. We don't hit, and you know, he has the consequences. But you know, that was pretty good. So, anyways, back to AAU basketball. Now we're talking about things we don't like about AAU basketball. You know, the cons or whatever. Quickly. I guess to start, first off, for us high school basketball coaches, because, you know, we're the ones that really matter, you know, there really isn't much of an opportunity if you play AAU basketball for skill development. And that's really what's hurting us, on the high school level. It's hard to get kids in the gym when they're traveling over the country or in the region playing a bunch of games. It's hard to get them in the gym to work on skill development. So we have kids that, play 4 or 5 games a day. They might not care if they win or lose. They're part of a team. But if you're not getting better at shooting and dribbling mostly, finishing around the hoop, then it's really hard to say or to really help the high school team in the future. And so that's a really big part problem. I talked to some people about AAU basketball before recording this, and there are some AAU teams that actually spend time during practice developing their skills. And so, it's not a catch-all. There are some programs that do, but, there are some programs that don't. And so I think what you always hear is all they do is they go and they travel and they play games. So anyway, so second, I think there's a big difference between AAU, like middle school youth, and high school AAU. I'm a big fan of high school AAU because I think that you want exposure. I think a lot of the abuse with AAU is at the youth level. At that point, unless you're a stud, I don't really know if you should, you probably should not be spending your time traveling all over the country. By the way, your parents are paying a lot of money for this, and not getting better at your skills. They might be playing a whole bunch of games against a bunch of kids that, are probably close to you. But I just think that at that level, right now we have too many kids coming in to high school, and I've talked to other coaches where the kids can't dribble. Oh yeah, they can shoot a bunch of 3-pointers, but guess what? They can't come off of a ball screen with their left hand. They really, that's not a good thing. They don't know how to pass. They pass with one hand. It's kind of a flip. I guess I digress. But anyways, okay, now on to number three. We're kind of on a time crunch here. So number three, it's an industry. Now that could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. I don't know. I looked earlier today and there was an article that said that the youth basketball industry is worth $15.5 billion. I guess, and that same article said the NFL is around $14 billion. Now, you can argue the numbers. Regardless, it's a huge industry. And while we may all love our kids playing basketball, someone's making money, people. And that could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. But it's not some pure for the love of the game basketball. Okay. Another thing is we have parents putting their kids in these AAU teams who aren't very good. And these kids seem to think, oh well, at least I'm on an AAU team. But yeah, because your parents paid a whole bunch of money for it, and guess what? They're not going to turn it down. They're going to find you a team if your parents are willing to pay the money. Okay. Now the kids that there are teams that give scholarships and things like that, but anyways. I guess kind of just an example of the amount of money that some people are spending for to play in some of these leagues. So just an example, there's this NY to LA sports tournament. It costs $550 for a team. They have two tournaments. The second tournament costs $650 per team. There's 40. There's between 40 and 60 teams per age division. The event will bring in $88,000. Now, that does include out-of-pocket costs, travel, hotel rooms, food, gas. And depending on the team, families can expect to pay $400 to $4,000 per summer to play. I don't know. There's just something about it I'm not a big fan of, But like I said, there are good things. Or there's the pressure to play one sport. We've all heard how, it's better to be multi-sport athlete. I Agree mostly. But if you're a Kevin Durant, don't go play football. You know, if you're a LeBron James, he played high school football, but just stick with basketball. But that's you know, none of, you know, that's the 1% of 1%. So fifth, like, one thing that kind of bothers me is particularly the youth level, especially when you're at a small school, is that you're going to go play in these select teams, right? And you never play with your classmates. And then all of a sudden, high school rolls around, and you've barely played together, and you can, and it's obvious to everyone. You're the stud, but your teammates, your classmates haven't played with you yet. So I guess that's kind of a quick summary of, you know, some of the cons of AAU basketball. You know, this is really, it's very relevant to probably a lot of you who are listening. You know, whether you played in AAU or in high school, or you have kids coming up, which will be me, you know, as hopefully they want to play basketball. That will be up to them. So, anyways, that's what I thought.
In the second half of our podcast over AAU basketball, Nate brought up some great cons against the organization. The first being the lack of skill development. The second being youth AAU versus high school AAU. The third being that it's a $15.5 billion industry. The fourth is the pressure to play just one sport, whereas in a lot of areas you have players playing multiple. And the fifth and final is not growing up in grade school playing with your future high school teammates. We hope you enjoyed the pros and cons of AAU basketball. Hopefully we brought some more insight into your view on it. Well, I stated at the beginning, we weren't here to answer any questions, as a lot is still unknown and a lot is seen to be done in terms of improving upon it, but there is some development along the way that could help these players out in the future. Hopefully in future podcasts, we can hit upon that a little bit more deeper. So with that said, we have a little extra segment that Nate put the effort into, and he did a great job. He's going to talk a little bit about some funny tweets from AAU Bingo, if you follow on Twitter, and end with an interesting story of his trip when he was younger to Italy. That is to coincide with Nebraska basketball's trip this summer to Italy to play. We hope you enjoyed this podcast, and hopefully to bring you back here next week. So with that said, thank you, and have a great day.
All right, fine. This is my last segment, I guess. Patrick allowed me to kind of talk about something besides, or kind of expanding on it, you know, something maybe a little more fun. So as I was trying to talk to some of my friends who deal with AAU basketball, I was told about this Twitter account. It's called at AAU underscore bingo. So AAU bingo. So this kind of, a lot of people send tweets to this account, and they'll retweet it about some of the crazy stuff they see at AAU basketball games. So this kind of gives you a taste about some of the, you know, I guess you can say the entertainment value beyond basketball at some of these tournaments and so forth. So I retweeted a whole bunch of them a couple days ago, so I haven't looked at them since. So I guess I'm going to go quickly through them. First one. We have a head coach. It looks like he has a backpack on. He's standing there coaching the game. Looks like the score is 29-8. I assume he's losing. He's got a hat on and some pants, and they're all camo. So he's got camo hat, camo backpack, and camo pants. Why do you have a backpack? I don't know. Maybe you're afraid someone's going to take it. Anyways, okay. Second one down. Next one down. There's a 5 minute stoppage, game stoppage, because the scorekeeper's is the mom of one of the players, and she refused to put the foul down on her son. So okay, all right. Next one down. Okay, we have a kid warming up, and he has, you know, the Apple AirPods in his ears, which is kind of silly. But he is wearing a GoPro, people, a GoPro. on his head. I don't know why you would have a GoPro on while you're warming up, but there you go. Anyways. Okay. Oh, here's a good one. These look like a bunch of maybe fifth graders. And they're, yeah, two teams, and the uniforms look the same. How do you expect to officiate that game? They look exactly the same. Okay, so next one. Oh, here we go. All you fathers out there, or mothers. We have another head basketball coach who is wearing, who's, oh, what's it called? A baby strap, or, you know, they strap to your back, or certain, well, most of the time it's to your chest. Yeah, he's holding his baby. Not a baby, but it looks like his maybe one-year-old son who is passed out, and he's there coaching on the sidelines. That's pretty good. Okay, here we go. Here's an assistant coach wearing a GoPro. He's sitting there on his cell phone. That's pretty good. This tweet says, I saw a mom give her son a basket of chicken fingers and fries during a the 2 minute halftime today. Oh, I can just picture that. You know, if you've ever been at these small junior high games, you know, how much time do you want? Oh, just give me a couple minutes. Okay. Let's throw up 2 minutes. Oh, here comes a mom with a basket of chicken fingers and fries. Okay. Here's one where the bench is half players, half coaches, a bunch of parents. Looks about, oh, there's about three players and four coaches. So that's great. Next one, there's a guy who's walking through the crowd with watching the game with a selfie stick. That's great. This one is the coach during, in the middle of the game. The game is going on. He's doing push-ups, people. Guys, yeah, it's important, you know. He need to get in his workouts. So during the game, he is doing push-ups. Push-ups. Oh my. Here says we got a running clock. Sorry, when the league gets over 20, there's a running clock. Doesn't stop again unless the league gets down to 10. One of the coaches got mad that they have to get down to 10 for the clock to stop. Well, they lost by 35. So, oh geez. Here's a 200 team tournament, $595 per team, and the nets are torn. They didn't spend a dollar on the nets, I guess. So that's kind of a taste of what AAU Bingo brings. So those are pretty good. So lastly, you know, we need to talk about Nebraska basketball a little bit. I don't want to say too much without Patrick here, because he's going to want to chime in. But in case you all didn't know, they're going to Italy. The basketball team is, which I think then they get to have at least 10 more practices during the summer together to get ready for this. I don't know if it's a tournament. I'd have to look into it, but they're going to Italy. So I told Patrick, I kind of have a good story about my trip to Italy. So I was in Florence, Italy, with two friends of mine, Doug and Cliff. We were staying at a hostel, and there was two other girls that were staying there with us. I don't remember their names. One of the girls was from Austria. The other one was from Brazil. We all went out together, the five of us. We, were having drinks and all that, and we went to a club. There's a lot of dancing. So I, for whatever reason, I was the only one with a key to our hostel. And the guy who owns it said he didn't want to hear from us past midnight or whatever. So just make sure you have the key. So for whatever reason, I had the key. So there's a lot of dancing going on at this club. I'm not really one to walk up to girls and ask them to dance. And I remember walking up to a girl and say, hey, would you like to dance? And she looked at me and she just walked away. So, but I'm like, hey, I'm in Europe. I'm never going to see her again. So anyway, so next thing I know, I can't find Doug or Cliff. And I thought, oh, they must have left. but they need me, or they need my key to get in to the hostel. And so I couldn't find the girl from Brazil either, but the girl from Austria was still there. So I told her, "Hey, I think we need to leave. I don't know where everyone else went. They might have thought we left, and then they, anyway." So we walked outside. We weren't, we've had, like I said, a couple of drinks, and I walk out onto the streets of Florence, Italy, and neither of us have a clue in which direction our hostel is. It could be right walking 2 miles ahead of us or behind. We have no idea. And it's probably 1 a.m. at this time. So she said, "Hey, let's just pick a direction and start walking." So 1 hour goes by. We have no idea, absolutely no clue if we're walking in the right direction. For whatever reason, when you are in Italy, people, generally can speak English. For whatever reason, we can't find anyone that speaks English, So we're just guessing. 2 o'clock rolls around, 3 a.m. rolls around, and this Austrian girl and I start trying to look for spots to sleep on the street because we have no clue. I remember looking at a sidewalk that was kind of backed away in the corner, and I thought, "Hey, maybe we should, lay down there." And she said, "Oh, let's just keep on walking." We end up stumbling upon our hostel at about 3:34 in the morning. So this is about a 3 hour walking through Florence with no clue. So I get there. I'm like, "Oh, my friends are probably gonna be pissed at me." And I realize, "Oh, they're not even outside." Okay, thank God they got inside. So I walk upstairs, and the Austrian girl goes to her room, and I go to ours, and I realize my friends aren't here. We're Doug and Cliff. Anyway, so I'll end it with this, okay? Before this is not how we wanted the podcast to go, but because of the we wanted to put a podcast out, but just because of how things went, we had to record it separately. So thank you for sticking with us. So anyway, so I'll end the story with what happened. I thought, okay, well, maybe I am going to sleep outside because there's no way they're going to get in unless I go downstairs and wait for them outside the door. So I go downstairs. I open the door. And I literally looked down the street, and I see Cliff and Doug sprinting down the street, screaming, "Shut the door, shut the door, oh my God, shut the door."